You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my couch, as you always are here on LA Talk Radio. For now, Wednesdays, 11 in the morning Pacific time, and wherever you're at listening in the world, on my couch, which is always the psychological show, which gives you insights about so many things, yourself, your friends, your life, where you're going, and some of your passions, what you'd like to do. And today is no exception. I have a great guest. We're talking about a subject that I haven't really covered fully in a long time. I always talk about different kinds of relationships, and we do have a lot of couples therapists come on, a lot of people who've written books about working through your own unresolved issues, things like that. But this topic today, I really enjoyed, and I also enjoyed reading my special guest book because it's about strained female relationships. And we're talking about my special guest, Susan Shapiro Barish, and her book, Estranged, How Strained Female Friendships Are Mended or Ended. And, you know, we talk about when life gets hard, right? We always kind of turn to our female friends, or most of the time, because they're more talkative. We trust in them. Our closest friends usually don't judge us, right? We talk to them a lot of times, usually more than our husbands or, you know, our coworkers. We try to keep pretty good boundaries with that. But what happens when sometimes our female friends' bondage gets sabotaged or separated? And it's very hard sometimes to walk away from those friendships because we don't want to hurt them. How can we protect ourselves from a further sadness or fears about opening up to other friendships? I mean, these are all questions we ask ourselves because we're going to find out some statistics as well as more about the book with my special guest today. Let's bring her on, Susan Shapiro Barish. Hi, Susan. How are you?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. It's so nice to see you.
So glad to be here.
Aw, and thank you so much for writing this book. You probably really heard a lot that this subject is not covered as much, right?
This is really a topic that we don't talk about. We talk about family estrangement.
Right.
But we don't talk about female estrangement because until very recently, based on my research, yeah, we haven't been comfortable leaving the friends and we've second-guessed ourselves.
Wow, is that true?
But now it's really changing, and
yes,
women are leaving and feeling very empowered, which I think is striking. And I talk to women, 150 women, all different ages, social strata, ethnicity, level of education, all across the country and, you know, cities and rural areas, suburbs. And what's so interesting is how this longing for very successful female friends really persists.
It does.
Yeah. And how we're taught that everything else comes and goes, but we're best friends forever.
That's right. That's exactly what we're taught.
Yeah. You
know, yeah. It makes really a lot of sense. Yeah.
And it's hard to let go.
Yeah.
Of what is almost like a myth, because
yes,
in truth, we can grow apart from our female friends just as easily as we can from a romantic relationship.
We really can. And, you know, I want to touch more on that. Let me give viewers and listeners a little bit more information about you before we proceed, because I think they're going to really be interested in your background. You've written over a dozen nonfiction books, as I understand, including Tripping the Prom Queen. I love that. I love that book, by the way. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
You're grounded forever. But first, let's go shopping. And Toxic Friends, the antidote for women stuck in complicated friendships. So for more than 20 years, you've taught gender studies at the writing department at Marymount Manhattan College. And of course, you guest taught creative nonfiction at the Writing Institute at Sarah Lawrence College. You've been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, Chicago Tribune, Elle, Marie Claire. And you've also appeared on almost every television network in the country, including CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Good Morning America. And of course, you're a contributor guest to NPR and Sirius Radio. And those are just to name a few of your accolades. So I just wanted to get to that because I want people to know exactly what your background and what you've done, which is so extensive. And I really appreciate that. So, gosh, you have been investigating for a long time how women, you know, are positioned in contemporary culture, like we just chatted about for you know, several decades. What was it that really grabbed you and said, I got to write about this? I mean, was it a personal thing that happened to you, Susan, or just observing how women friends are behaving these days?
Well, it was really both, Dr. Michelle, because I had lost my mother 7 years ago, and thank you. And we were very close. And I really noticed which friends were there for me.
Right.
And surprisingly, of the close friends I have, those who really weren't there in a way that was meaningful. And sure. I wondered if it was a trend. And having written the other books that I've written, I thought that it was time to really investigate this. However, yes, as I started to interview, because, you know, I for my nonfiction, I usually do between 150 and up to like 250 or 300 interviews. My agent said to me, you know, I write under a pen name, I write fiction. And she said, you know, you have several novels that you're due to hand in. So I put this to the side. And then during COVID and with the last two elections, I saw where suddenly women's beliefs and values that were shared in friendships, if they were disparate, they were deal breakers.
Right.
And you know, in that, the whole idea of vaccinating or how do you raise your kids for young women? Do they get vaccinated? Right. And suddenly there was all this thinking that was different from what I had seen before when there was more acceptance.
Yes.
And also in my early interview 7 years ago, women were saying, it's really hard to leave this friend, and I don't know if I have the courage. Mm. And I, you know, I will have been a failure. I'm sort of ashamed that I want to leave.
Yes. Yes.
Women were saying, when I picked this up, handed in my novels, yes, picked this up 2 years ago and started interviewing a lot more women to get to know.
Yes.
I realized that there was a shape shift. And that what women were really saying now is, you know what? A lot is going on in the world. I don't need this friend in my life. Right. I feel almost empowered making this decision.
Yes.
So it's really strikingly different from what I had seen before.
Isn't that so? You are right on, I believe. And I've heard this from other women, from other people in general, friends and family, and of course with the political environment and how our country has been split and, you know, a lot of financial issues going on for everybody, and everyone has their work, and or some people have their, you know, there's so much to juggle in this contemporary society.
And so we really need a support system that supports us.
Right.
Really healthy. And women are saying, you know, she betrayed me, or she's hierarchical, you know, I'm important, but not as important as her new friends, or we no longer mirror each other. We both were single women in the city, and now she's moved to the suburb and has a baby, or women get divorced, or they're widowed, but whatever it is, when we're no longer reflecting one another, because that often works for women.
Right.
That's one reason why these friendships just don't last.
Yes. Yeah. And do you think, that we're becoming, I guess we as women are becoming more aware of our values, that maybe we don't need people who pull on us, or the negative energy sometimes, or unresolved issues that you're still feeling? Do we have we leveled up in our consciousness?
What we're doing is more self-aware and enough to be honest about our closest relationships.
Yes.
So that really, you know, a big piece of that is really these female friendships, because we're taught in our culture that we're best friends forever.
Yes. And what we find, I think you are so right on. What we find is when we're younger, I mean, we have some friends. I have friends that I knew in high school who I've still retained my friendships with. And but because of our lives and many things, we have changed in our belief systems, you know, whatever it may be, religiously, politically, the, you know, things like that. And I think it's important to really understand what they need or their truth. But I think the big issue here is, how are they, if you're standing up for them, if you're supporting them, if you're there for them, how are they supporting you? And is it reciprocal, or are you feeling a little, what are you feeling that doesn't serve you, I guess, right?
Well, that's the big problem, that women are saying, I'm not respected, but they're also saying, I don't feel this is an equal give and take. And it's enough to really disturb the friendship to the point where the estranger, which is the person who estranges, and you're the estrangee, the receiver of the estrangement, the estranger says, you know, things are different, I can't do this anymore. So really hitting your limit.
Yeah.
Kind of in a love relationship where we have passive consent to let go and start again.
Right. And that makes sense, you know. And in your research was very thorough, by the way, and we can share some of those statistics, which I thought were amazing. But with the women with whom you spoke, they were in ages like from 20s to 80s. So were you kind of surprised that they felt similar at any age?
Well, longevity really affects us as women. And based on my research from my other nonfiction, as well as this, we get the chance to reinvent ourselves. We get to create another experience, another scenario, another stage. And so what is similar is the longing for authentic best friends. This is a study for best or closest friends. It's not just a kind of, you know, friend from the gym. So we all yearn to really be close and secure because of those friendships.
Yes.
So that happens at any age. But there are different kinds of betrayals. It's so interesting. A lot of young, but in different ages, a lot of young women spoke of a friend who seduced the boyfriend, the fiance, the new husband.
Right.
Such a deal breaker.
Okay. That's a no-no. That is a big no.
Really a trespass.
Right.
So that one never works out.
No.
And then, you know, I spoke to women in their 40s who say, you know, we're raising our children so differently that we just can't be close anymore. Or family friends who say, you know, we're 50 now. We've been friends our whole lives.
Yeah.
And we have nothing in common, but she's also really hurt me in some way. So this is pretty, you know, deep. This isn't just she didn't show up on time for lunch. We're talking about, you know, lies, secrets, a lack of trust, a secret spilled, a loyalty that is no longer there. Really hurtful situations.
Yes. No, that's beautifully said. And you are, again, you are just so right on in your research. And I think as a psychologist, you know, I try to always give people the benefit of the doubt and say, well, and I do this in my personal life as well. You know, we'll make, I know she's busy and I know she has kids, or in another case, a friend who has grandkids now, and they, you know, they're all, they have their lives and they're busy. And so I get it. And I just, but gosh, they don't return my calls very often, or they don't respond, or I'm texting them and reach. And I guess maybe I'm always trying to find an excuse. And, or what did I say that offended her? Or what did I do that may have, you know, self-examination, right?
Well, and also the second guessing. And that's why the preface of this book is called, Has She Changed or Have I?
Right.
Because we, when we lose a very close female friend, we ask ourselves, you know, what did I do wrong? Did I tell her too much? Did I tell her too little? Should I not have weighed in on my opinion about her partner?
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah. It's just the women really struggle.
Yes.
But what's new and trending is the idea that we can say, whatever this tension is or something egregious, you know, it's either cumulative or it's one inciting incident. But it, in either situation where women are now saying,
sure,
I'm okay to leave, I feel empowered to leave, and I will do better with my new friends if I get out of this because it no longer is healthy.
Sure. And I agree with you. By the way, in case you guys just tuned in here on the couch, my special guest is Susan Shapiro. And I pronounce it right here, is Barish. And she's talking about her latest book, Estranged, How Strained Female Friendships Are Mended or Ended. And there's a fascinating psychology around that today. So even this show is for men as well. If you have partnerships or you know, marriages of some kind, and or female friends who are going through unresolved issues with their own friends, maybe you can understand them better as well, because the book is really fascinating and it's based on a lot of research and observation of what's going on between women in this day and age. So I wanted to ask you also, Susan, do you think that it's important for maybe friends who are having issues with each other to share, one person to share how they're feeling or what they're feeling, and or to have some kind of friendship therapy with a specialist?
Well, I don't think that women consider it in the same way that they do couples therapy or taking a child into therapy if yeah. she needs it. I think that's more standard, and probably it's partly, although you're the psychologist, it's partly because the cultural messaging is that we're best friends forever and that this couldn't be happening. Yeah. These really difficult situations, you know, there's seven scenarios in the book, because after interviewing the 150 women, they fell into these categories that became the chapters.
Yes.
These are really a big deal. This is, you know, a friend who really doesn't act the same because there's someone new in her life, a new friend or a new partner. Often it's a new partner or a baby, or a move across country to a different situation for her. But any of that that puts a wedge in the friendship is a very serious matter, because one friend feels left behind. So I call it the faithless friend, and that's the chapters. But the one chapter that I think is very common and, you know, very known to us, but I still had to include it because, I mean, I wanted to include it, but had to really look at it in a very new way, is the green-eyed friend.
Don't know sometimes, right? You're unaware if that's really going on, right?
A jealous friend is where someone tells me in the interview, I don't want to share my news with her because I can already feel her jealousy. I don't want that vibe near me. That needs to really be considered. Is this in any way good for you to have a friend who really not envies? Right. Is it competitive, but is a dark, it goes as dark in her emotion as jealousy? So, and we can talk about that, all different aged women.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it really does. I'd like to talk about some of the categories also, the other categories that you talk about. But to your point about, you know, how we feel and are conditioned to, oh, we have early friends, we'll have friends forever, no matter what, we'll try to hang on. And why can't I establish or keep a relationship with this person, or what's going on? In your research, which I found fascinating, you say that 88% of women have had a problem with a close friend. And that's not just a brush, or like you said, a slight, or, hey, I didn't meet you on time, or whatever. And that 75%, to your point as well, feel more obligated to stay with a female friend than a partner or a husband. So this is all leading to exactly why people need your book.
The stats come from the interviews, the 150, but I also did a questionnaire in addition. So another 111 women in the back of the book. And this is what they reported. And, you know, this is how I got the stats. And yet 75% of women who do leave feel relieved in leaving. And I think that's really interesting that, you know, once you have the courage to do it and the conviction to do it, that then you end up feeling better.
Right. And no, and that's perfect too, because you did include those questions, which really specifically define, you know, what happened or what, you know, how they're feeling about it or the situation, which really helps with your research. So let's talk about some of those categories of issues with friends that you point out in your book. So you said the green-eyed person.
Green-eyed friend. Yep. One chapter we talked about the faithless friend. Mm-hmm. I also have a chapter, this is a very tough situation. It's called the wayward friend. And that is where one of the two friends in the dyad have, this friend has an addiction of some kind. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs, or it could be shopping. Something that's really, really very, very dangerous for her. And you as the friend, the closest friend, really become the enabler. And what does that do to you and to your own life? And where does it get the friend?
Right.
And so that research was, I mean, the consensus here is that, you know, the friend needs help and that you can't keep.
Oh my goodness, yes. No, and that's very sad. And it's heartbreaking in a way because you don't want to hurt them, but, you know, you as a friend try to nudge them into saying, hey, this may not be the best for you, but sure, I'll go shopping with you and or whatever their addiction might be.
You know, a lot of women said, I never noticed that she drank much more than socially, or why did she need a drink before at 10 in the morning before the flight to Florida, you know, starting to really see it and then the responsibility. So that's a heavy, but also the friend with disparate values is so interesting because we've already touched on that. But the idea that as the world has changed so much lately, that it really is you're with me or you're not.
Yes.
And your values aren't completely in sync. Women are saying, you know, I don't think I can be her friend. And that's very different from what we've heard in the past.
Nice.
Where there's more acceptance and less, it wasn't a deal breaker. You just, you know, you vote this party, I vote that party. You don't believe in facts, you know, in your child being vaccinated. That bothers me, but it doesn't break the friendship. But now women are saying, you know what? The friendship couldn't sustain this kind of point of view that we each have that's so different. So that's really something too.
Yes, exactly. No, that makes a lot of sense. What now, you mentioned also the faithless friend. That's sort of when someone drives a wedge between you two, or?
Right. So the faithless friend is the one where someone gets between you. Maybe, I think we talked about it, a new partner or a change in life, and it somehow is the wedge. But we didn't talk about the thieving friend. And that's really, or did we, I don't know where,
well,
you know.
You just touched on it briefly, so I'd love to get more into that because, I mean, we think about thieving friend, you know.
Right, why is she my friend? So who knew that she really wanted to seduce your boyfriend?
Oh, my God.
What a betrayal. Or who knew that when you share, she's your best work friend, and you tell her your idea that you'll pitch tomorrow at the meeting to the boss you share, and in fact, she takes it and presents it as her own.
Yikes.
I have one interview in the book where a woman said that they saw a home that they really loved and they were going to put an offer on it the next day. And they had dinner with their best friends, she and her husband, and they told their best friends about it. And their best friends decided to up the offer and they bought that home.
Oh, my God.
I know. That one's where we say, wow, okay, was she really ever your friend? And actually, women say, you know, what did I miss? And then there's so much rationalizing. So our mothers were best friends. We grew up together. We belonged to the same church. Our college days were, you know, really memorable together. We met when our kids were born and they were in the same hospital the same day. You know, whatever what really starts it is a kind of a reason, or she needs me. I heard that a lot, you know, but this is really going through something and she needs me. And so all these excuses for why it's really not, why it's suboptimal and it's really not healthy in any way.
Yes, exactly. No, that is really scary. I've always said that I'm really lucky. I have I have a sister who's pretty close in age and we're best friends. I mean, we just grew up being BFs, which is great.
I can't believe you're saying this though. Because when I was working on the book with my editor, I told her that I wanted to have one sister story about a breakup per chapter because so many sisters use the exact, I had done a study years ago.
Yes.
Devoted and divided. Yes. And in that book, and an ongoing study. So in that research, women kept saying, you know, my sister is my best friend or my three sisters are my best friends. I don't need to be so close. But when that doesn't work, the sisters who is this, the sisters are estranged. Those right. sisters are seeking best friendships / sister like relationships elsewhere.
Right.
So when I interviewed the women in this book, so many described the friendship that was either in trouble and needed mending or estranging. They would say, "Oh, but she's like a sister to me," or everyone thought we were sisters.
Right.
So I said to my editor, I need one sister story per chapter.
Right. So that's great.
I'm saying because that just underscores how deep and profound a healthy sisterhood is.
Oh, it really is. And it does. Although, you know, talking about the thieving friend, I was glad that my sister and I always had different tastes and types and intelligences and whatever. In men, we always had different tastes. Like, no, oh, I'm not attracted to him at all. But we would never thief. We would never steal the other's partner or try to flirt with them. Or that's weird to me. I mean, that's taboo. You don't do that to your sister.
It really
you
is.
Don't do that to your other friends or best friends. It's weird.
But it happens. It really happens. I mean, interesting. And then I did, you know, each chapter also has one long story that's a she said, where I was able to get both sides. So those are intriguing. And in one of them, a woman describes her situation with her best friend as changing and then ending for a long time because her brother started dating her best friend.
I agree.
He was divorced, her best friend was divorced. And it created such havoc among family members, and it hurt the friendship because of the hierarchy. Now, the boyfriend was more important than his sister, who had been her best friend forever. Wow. And, you know, so if it's messy, it often ends up in estrangement.
Boy, is that true. I mean, that is really yucky and uncomfortable for some people, I guess. But I mean, still, you know, you want to cherish the bonds, you know, that you had before and allow them to do what they need to do. But I hear you. I really do. Let's talk about the disparaging friend. Oh, my gosh. Those are hard to deal with. They tear you down with relentless criticism disguised as honesty. Okay, let's talk about that.
This friend is the one where you say to yourself, I'm sorry, did I hear that right? Did she really just tell me that I look terrible and that I haven't looked well in 3 months? Did she just tell me that she thinks that the way I handle my teenage daughter is all wrong? Did she really criticize me in so many ways? And what happens here is that either something so hurtful is said that it just breaks the friendship, or it just ends up piling up. Isn't this the 10th time this year that she has said what she said until we finally are able to feel it's time to feel like it's the only way?
Exactly. And
self-preservation.
Yes, exactly, Susan. And it's like, again, disguised as, you know, honesty. And again, from a psychological point of view, I look at it like, well, what is missing within that person that has to be so honest with us? You know, using those you statements, you look really tired. You don't look great in that. You've gained weight. You seem to be really instead of, you know, we learn how to change the language a little bit to, I'm kind of concerned about you. You've been sort of pulling back, or you haven't been sharing with me some stuff. What's going on? That instead of that, there's that, I'm just being honest. You look really worn down and tired lately.
But also, you start to ask yourself also, as I heard these women,
yeah,
is she making you into less so she can be more? Is it just so, right? Is it just so really unsupportive when what we want in these relationships, in these friendships, is a complete trust and a sense of total support?
Right. It really is. Well said. I mean, that's exactly right. In case you guys just joined us here live or on the radio or visually, I'm talking with Susan Shapiro Barish. Her book is entitled Estranged, How Strained Female Friendships Are Mended or Ended. And it's fascinating. There are statistics about issues going on with women and how they feel about friends and what some of the situations have been, how many women have issues with what's going on in our society, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's really enlightening, and it makes you really understand women's friendships a little bit better. And I think also, Susan, your book sort of gives women a lot of courage to understand why they're feeling uneasy about breaking up with their old girlfriends, or why they feel like, what did I do, or something's wrong with me, or the taboo of, oh, well, best friends forever, can't ever break that up. You know, so you give safety within your book.
Thank you. No. Well, remember, these are all anonymous interviews. So all the identifying characteristics are changed, your name, you know, where you live, what you do. So given that freedom, the women, the stories were really so honest and so revealing. And what I saw was women waking up.
Yes.
You asked about the different ages, all different ages, really saying, you know, I understand myself better and I need to move on.
So true. It's so true. I'd love to talk about how some of the toxic friendships that we've had. And I mean, the word is toxic sometimes, but we get confused to, you know, interpret what it is or what, why, or what, like I said, what we did. But how can these friendships that are really unhealthy for us take a toll on our mental health? What are some of the things that you experienced by interviewing your groups of women?
The interviewees felt very anxious.
Yeah.
Said, you know, I'm finding ways to avoid her. And I'm also very concerned that maybe the friend was no longer really truthful about things. Maybe, you know, she'd say, I can't see you Saturday, even though we go to the flea market every Saturday. But in fact, she was going to the flea market with her new friends, or she now played pickleball instead, or whatever. But because women are so hesitant to be really over with their friends and to say, okay, here's what's really going on. I no longer think that we belong together. I think that our lives are so different. I think that you've really changed. I think that I'm better off with, a good example would be with the other mothers, and the, you know, they all have a daughter same age as little Sarah, my daughter, and therefore it's just easier to be understood. And you seem to misunderstand my new loyalty, which is to my family. So when things change like that, there is this sense that there's not the support that you once had, yeah, and that the friendship is shape-shifting, and or the friend is away from you.
Right, right.
And you're away from her. So it's just the stranger, the one who says, enough, it's over. And she hardly ever says that. What happens is she does it. So ghost, or they do a slow fade, or they distance, stop texting back, stop calling back. And so you get the message. And for the estrangees, they're not just devastated, but some of them say, you know, she ended it, but I kind of agree.
Yes.
I see the, you know, truth in this, or the reality.
That makes it easier. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. So someone has to take that risk. However, Dr. Michelle, I spoke with several women who said that they did sit down to have the talk, or had the phone call where it was about, like, you know, we can't really be friends anymore. And a friend divorce. And while it might have been a more open step, the fallout is the same. The end is the end. So it's not just the behavior to end it, but the other side of not having that friend. And it's a real adjustment. I'm not here to say there's no emotion and sense of loss. I'm here to say that when it's not working, you are often, in fact, 79% of my interviewees said that they feel very positive about the estrangement.
Oh, that's good. I mean, and you say, and is that why you discuss, you know, estrangement it as a radical yet necessary act of self-preservation, right?
It's necessary in enough instances. You know what really surprised me? But some of the younger women said that their mother said, made the excuses. But she's been your friend. You know the family. But maybe you could just forgive her. And it was the younger women who said, I really can't. I hit my limit. You know, the friends themselves. But when they asked, a lot of the younger women asked their mothers, even grandmothers. But so it was just curious. But we belong often to groups. Women, you know, you could be a best friend dyad in a group of seven friends or eight friends. So it is a risk to leave the friend and to risk your status in the group. And women talked about that too.
Yes, that's another thing too, because you get into the mix of other friends, or if you're, you know, younger friends, you know, we're meeting the group here. But when there's unrest with one particular friend, everybody else is sort of picking up on that. And
it's not great for the group. And sometimes we take sides. And the behavior, you know, I've been asked this on my book tour that's just starting. So are we evolved? Are we wiser at 55 than we were at 25? Yes and no.
Right.
Because we have historically old friends, meaning many years in our lives. Right. And then we have new friends. And it's a little like when you first date someone, I mean, are you really listening? Or are you just kind of enchanted with the whole picture?
Right.
I mean, is this person really? Because if you're with someone as a friend, a new friend, and she sort of badmouths her ex-friends or former friends or gossips or disparages another friend, then it's worth paying attention to this.
Yes.
For your own relationship with her.
My goodness, it really is. It's very, you know, and again, you know, we don't want to be paranoid or but it's just sort of taking note and whatever, like we teach sometimes in psychology, journaling some of the uncomfortable feelings that you're getting from someone, or some of the, you know, I'm being ignored, or I feel like this, I can't be honest with this person because they'll be jealous, or whatever it is, it's important to sort of jot down those things and take a look at them and stop maybe shoving them under the rug and say, oh, well, we've been friends for X amount of years and that's her quirks. True, we all have quirks. We all have unresolved issues and we all cannot be the best friends all the time. We try, but open communication is really important, right? And I love the idea that, you know, you had that breakup, you know, the interview with some of the women who broke up and said, we're going to have to break up as BFs or close friends because it's just not, we're just not vibing or whatever that is. So,
but I didn't see it that often. And most times interviewees reported that they just like disappeared.
Right. And,
until the message was obvious.
Yeah.
And that is because women really don't like confrontation and and conflict. And this was another way. And also, we never imagine it will get to that point with the friend.
Yes, I agree.
Joan, I
go there, right?
We just believe in this steadfast situation where the friend will always be the person either that whom she really is or whom we hope she'll be.
Ooh, that makes a lot of sense.
And that's the trick.
Right.
And then who are we in these friendships?
Right.
Who are we? Are we a very loyal, very honest, trustworthy friend? I mean, so there has to be some self-questioning too. We have to really look at both sides. But based on my research, there's usually one person who feels very betrayed and let down.
Sure. And isn't that interesting? I really like that. And if you don't want to answer, I completely understand. I always try to ask my guests who are experts, who do research, who are, you know, as well known as you are in the field of writing nonfiction books and studying relationships. Have you had situations in your own life where you've had to break up with friends or pull yourself away and sort of just be honest with them?
So let me answer that this way. Every nonfiction book that I've ever written, I've been very curious about the situation and I haven't seen the book in the bookstore. So let me just digress for a moment. So when I was 23 years old and I was getting married, I wanted a book on mother's law and daughter's law. And there was none. I couldn't find one anywhere. There were no books like that. And I three children later, you know, and 10 years later, I thought, you know, I bet there's still not a book. I think I'll write that book. And that was illuminating for me personally, but also turned out to be a very, very big topic. And, you know, that was a long book tour.
Sure.
And a lot of mothers-in-law showed up, just saying, more than daughters-in-law when I spoke at, you know, had speaking gigs. So that I've done three studies on the role of wife in America because I think that's so interesting. And I looked at female rivalry and toxic friends. And so, and, you know, mothers and daughters and mothers, well, we said mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law and sisters. So those books I've really looked for and haven't seen them. And so for this, as I told you earlier, I think when my mother died and I realized it, but I have definitely had these experiences and I have often wondered, you know, the same thing that my interviewees say, which is, what's happening here? And is it me or is it?
No, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. And good for you for doing all that research and understanding that maybe we need more information on this and many other, you know, relationship issues that you researched before. And that mother-in-law thing, oh my goodness.
You're a psychologist, you must hear a lot about it. But what's interesting about friendships is that so the book isn't just interviews, but it's also my research and it's also looking at pop culture and at novels and film where we see, you know, best friends and best friends that break up. So let me just probably misquote or paraphrase, but Heather's, that movie from years ago with Winona Ryder, where she says something like, oh my goodness, I just killed my best friend and worst enemy. Do you remember there was a line like that?
Oh my God, right? Yes.
Yeah, she's speaking to Kristen Slater. It's from a million years ago.
Right,
it says so much because because I always eavesdrop when I'm on the bus in New York. So one day, the craziest thing happened. On the way to the college to teach, on the way downtown, I heard these two women saying, "What would I do without my friends?" Talking to each other.
Yes.
On the way back home after teaching, I heard a woman say to her friend, "Can you believe she did that to me?"
Oh, wow.
And that's the rub. Where is it so safe and where is it so not safe? Yeah. And yet, at the same time, you know, we look at celebrity culture. I interviewed, not only real women, but I also looked at famous women. So yes. I looked, and we talked about sisters for a moment. So a very famous sister duo that definitely had a lot of rivalry, lack of trust, was Jacqueline Kennedy and her sister Lee Radswell.
Yes.
Because when Lee Radswell died, and I researched all of that, she really thought she would be the one who married Onassis.
Yes.
But then the rock star sister was widowed, and there it, you know, went that way. So yeah. I also looked at Marilyn Monroe and Ella Fitzgerald, who were very close friends.
Oh, they were.
Marilyn Monroe was of great concern to Ella Fitzgerald because of her drugging and drinking.
Yes.
So that got in the way of the friendship. And, we always think of, I don't know, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie and
right.
We think of the rock stars. And we look at it all and we are familiar with it and we're very curious. It's because they're so known right. And yet all these issues among, even famous women.
Sure. And, it's fascinating. It really is. And it helps us out. It's just about that time to wrap up already. I mean, it's gone so fast, Susan. I appreciate you sharing all your information and helping people out here on the couch. And what is the best way that viewers and listeners can get a hold, know more about you, and like I said, get a hold of your book, Estranged, How Strained Female Friendships Are Mended or Ended?
They can go to my website, SusanShapiroBarish.com, get in touch with me. I love to hear from people. Yes. And my book tour is there too, virtual and real events. And they can go to Amazon, bookshop.org, Powell's to get the book. And a local bookstore can have it.
Super. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Great information. Great book.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you do and all your research. All right.
Thank
you. Take care. And again, appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Thanks, son. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me here on the couch. Another great guest next week. So you can find out more about your relationship with yourself and others and how that comes together. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.